Blog Talk Radio.
Corn in the fields, I listen to the rice when the wind blows across the water. King harvest be surely come.
I work for the union, 'cause she's so good to me.
That was the band, King Harvest, and this is Your Mother's Medicine Cabinet, brought to you by the 5, 10, 15, 800 million people that work over at the Literary Underground. I'm your host, Frank Reardon. All right, so our guest tonight is from my old stomping grounds. Well, he's from New Hampshire, I'm from Massachusetts, but it's all fucking New England. And he runs Unadorned Press. And that would be Murphy Clamrod, so let's bring him on. Hello.
Hey, man.
You are live to the tons of listeners. So how's things out in New Hampshire?
Good, man. We're starting to get the first signs of fall. It's, crisp nights and still the warm days. So, yeah, it's going good.
Yeah, I noticed when I was walking in the woods today that I was noticing some dying leaves about, so you're getting that up there?
Yeah, not so much a change in color yet. It's more the, I like to call this time of year, the sweatshirt at night, t-shirt during the day. It's, it's a nipply at night, but the leaves are probably just starting to turn now. I'm sure a little further north there's color, but nothing to speak of yet.
Right on, right on. So why don't we just start out with telling the listeners how the Unadorned Press came about in your mind.
Okay. I started writing poetry not too long ago. I'm kind of new to this whole game. And I was shopping around to do a chapbook. I had gotten a copy of Matthias Nelson's They May Try to Kill Me for This, And I thought that it was just some great shit, and I wanted to do the same thing. And in shopping around, I noticed that, you know, a lot of people, I don't want to use the word pretentious, but a lot of people are like, you know, who the fuck are you? Like, who, you know, we're not interested, we're not interested. And I thought, Jesus, you know, with MySpace and all these great writers that I was beginning to know, I thought that, you know, people would be chomping at the bit to have somebody that they didn't know. And so that's where the idea started in my head. I'm like, you know, I'm going to just do this myself. And have an outlet for people who ordinarily would, you know, maybe turned away because they don't have, you know, a degree or they haven't been published in, you know, 13 quarterlies, et cetera, et cetera. So that was really the birth of the idea. It was about a year before I actually got started on it. You know, it took a while to get shit in motion to get it going, but that's where it came from, was just, so many voices out there, you know, there's so many people that have good stuff to say, and not that there aren't venues for them, it just, I didn't think that there was enough venues, the right venues, I guess, and that's where
and
I
so, like, it's all kind of like old school homespun, in a way. You know, some of us know your product, but maybe some people listening don't.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's nothing, it's not fancy, it's not, I got a little more technical with the new stuff I'm doing, the Musophobist, you know, messing with fonts and trying to be old school. It's not quite copy and paste. I do a lot of stuff on the computer. It is, you know, I use a regular printer. My goal is to get a letterpress and to really get old school, you know, copy paste and the words to be letterpress. Basically, my point is I want to be able to print if there's no electricity. That's where I'm headed. That's the direction I want to go in. But as for right
now,
you
want to be like doing it by hand with like old iron stamps and shit.
I'd love that, man. I really would. I'd love to. And I know, you know, it's daunting. I've watched, you know, 100 YouTube videos on letterpress, and not only do you have to put the shit in each letter, it's backwards. You have to.
Oh, well, Murphy's call has vanished. We'll get him back on. He's dropped off somewhere. I don't know where he dropped off to. So Murphy, call back. next week, we're going to change it up a bit. It was supposed to be Danny Baker, but we've pushed him back a few weeks because he has vanished off the face of the earth, and I've not heard from him all summer. So I was going to do it at the end of the month, but Jeffrey Santillo is going to interview me for my new books because it's an open spot, so we're going to turn the tables on the interviewer. That will be next week. It was going to be at the end of the month, but I'm still having trouble finding Danny Baker, so here's Murphy's back. So you're back.
I'll avoid that section of the house. I go over there, and apparently I drop calls, so I'll
that's
sit down.
All right, man. So, yeah, so that's cool. So we've got, like, the homespun thing going on. It's coming out of New England, and you're getting do you have any, like, ideas where you want to, like, where you want to take this, or do you like the way it's going now?
I like the way it's going now. I do have a couple projects, one with Christian Alvarez. We're going to do a full length, which I'll obviously have to outsource a lot of the actual publication of it, the printing of it. But yeah, we've been talking about, you know, getting into doing some rags, some magazine stuff. I've also thought about doing a I don't want to say newspaper, but basically like a periodical, you know, like a literary periodical. That, again, I want to do on.
Well, we've lost Murphy again, so he should not be walking to these parts of the house. But that will be our next show. Yeah, then the week after me is going to be Lynn Alexander and Paul Corman Roberts talking about their new chapbooks. Originally, they were going to discuss the literary underground, but they have since moved on. So I'm having them we are going to discuss their new chapbook. So I might extend that show a little bit longer so they both have time to discuss their stuff. Then we'll try to get Danny Baker on the week after if I can find him. If not, then we'll have to push him back to the winter and just do some free-for-all show, I suppose. On October 1st, we'll have Rob Plath, which will begin Season 2 of Your Mother's Medicine Cabinet. So if you want to call in tonight when we get Murphy back on, if he's able to escape the void of the house that he's walked into, or maybe a giant Tyrannosaurus Rex has invaded his house. I don't know. weird things happen out there in New Hampshire. I don't exactly know which section he's in, but I don't know. I hope he's trying to call back in, because I am left here on dead air and I have no poems to read you. So on a good note, I was talking to Michelle McDaniel over there, who kind of runs, one of the people who runs the show, The Literary Underground, and last month we had over live and an archive, we had over like 3,000 listeners, which is pretty awesome. You know, Frankie Metro does a show once in a while, and I believe Brian Fouget had that one show, and I did four of them. And to have over 3,000 listeners for, like, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 shows, it's pretty good for the Blog Talk Radio. So people are listening. We're doing something. Some of these writers are making fans, and they're selling books and getting new fans. So I'm glad to help out in any way I can. And the show will go to the end of next March. And then I'm moving on and not doing any more Blog Talk Radio shows or interviews. That is, I think I like to go out on top. I don't like to beat a dead horse, so to speak. So, Murphy Clamrod, where the fuck are you, man? Let's see if I can get him in the Facebook world. Here he is again.
I didn't move, back from man. The... I don't know. I'm sitting still. I'm going to plug this phone in. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Maybe the devil's coming to collect or something. I don't know.
That's the void of your house out there in the depths of
exactly.
New Hampshire.
It might be his problem, Frank. I'll talk incessantly, so I have to keep looking at the phone to make sure it's still connected, because I'll talk for the next 45 minutes.
You have exactly 32 minutes. You cannot move. Kind of like Chinese torture.
Perfect. I will sit still.
Yeah. So that's good. You got the press going on, and you've been publishing some good people. So why don't you talk about some of your projects that you've done already?
Yeah. The first year, I ended up doing my own book, Unscrupulous Rhetoric. And that was, ironically enough, I wrote that all out on register tape before I knew that Kerouac wrote On the Road all in one scroll. So I thought I had come up with something really cool and original. But once I did Unscrupulous Rhetoric, I decided I was going to focus on some other people. And the first project I did was the Unadorned Reader, which I already mentioned. I did 4 volumes of that, 50 poets. I don't know how many poems it was. I published John Dorsey's Leaves of Ass. That was a lot of fun to do. A lot of good stuff. He's a fantastic writer. I did a chapbook for Michael Grover, Counter-Revolutionary Poems, Version 1. I don't know if anybody's familiar. I'm sure everybody knows who Michael Grover is if they're listening. And then that first year, I did your Steak Bone Fever, which, again, a lot of fun to do. I learned a lot in doing your book, because you Michael's stuff and John's stuff is fairly short. Anybody who's familiar with John Dorsey knows that, he's not very long-winded in his poetry. And you had a couple pieces that were, multiple pages. So, it was fun to do, and you know, I added the little continued when the, you know, because I didn't know shit about doing this stuff, man. But
and we've lost him again. He's got a strange phone going on. So, yeah, if you want to call in tonight, you can do that. And you can talk to me while Murphy comes back and forth, or talk to Murphy while he comes back and forth. I don't know what's going on. There is nothing wrong. For once, it is not the fault of Blog Talk Radio. So, it just must be strange clouds out there in the void of New Hampshire. So, yeah, he's done John Dorsey, and he did A Little Chap of Mine. He's done, some great readers. I've got some at my house. I don't have all four of them, but I've got, I think, two. And they're pretty good. You should, oldschoolcards.com cover. You should just get yourself some copies. When I get him back up, here he is. It's Murphy, back from the void. It's not Blog Talk Radio. I checked it, so it just must be the wilds of New Hampshire.
It's got to be, man. All right, I don't know where I got cut off, but I'd like to read a poem of yours, if you don't mind.
All right.
This is from State Bone Fever, one of the first three cat books that we published. This is called I See You. Hopefully I can get through it without getting dropped. I See You by Frank Ridden. I see the pig that you actually are, slobbering around in your mud pile, grunting and swallowing other loads from other pigs, preaching peace with prayer beads wrapped around your folded hands, trying to remove your rage and agony with heavy breathing and peaceful words. I see you. I see you. I see you tossing blood and guts into the fire and picking up Robert Frost. I see your Obama pin fastened to your fluffy white sweater while you sit back in that pig leather chair. I see you buying Disney passes so you can teach your children the meaning of consumerism. I see you. I see you. I notice you taking showers before you fuck, missionary style. I see how you stick your dick in that conservative pig wife of yours without even moving your hips. I see how your face turns red like a tomato when you pull out because you won't exercise and get your stamina up. I see how you rely only on the medication your doctor gives you after all those heart.
Well, that was Murphy in the middle of a poem that I have completely, I forgot I wrote years back. that was about half of it, I think. I don't even recall writing that poem, but anyways. Yeah, so after that, he's got into another season of writers that he published, so we'll ask him about that. We've got a lot of cool people coming up in season two. I'm not going to go through the list. I do that every single time. Can't get any callers, but, you know, if you're out there and you'd like to call in and you could completely entertain me, for the times that Murphy vanishes into the void. So, hook that up. Do it up. Give it a call. Ask a question. He's still got a good almost 30 minutes to go, so hopefully this won't happen very much more. I do apologize. It's not his fault. It's not Blog Talk Radio's fault. Just the powers that be in the satellite world. So, you know, what can we do? There's not much we can do. So moving on. Why don't you call in? Where's Jeff? We need Jeff now. Where's Jeff in the world of Blog Talk Radio? Anyways, if you should check out John Dorsey. He's been traveling around the country, reading his awesome poems from many of his books. He's at here with the Murphy Clam Rod, The Leaves of Ass, here at Unadorned Press. It's a spectacular book. Sodomy's City in New Jersey. He's got a bunch of books there traveling around the country. So, and here's Murphy. Hey.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Oh, we've got a caller to ask you a question.
Perfect.
Okay. You're live with Murphy Clamrod.
Hi, Frank. Jeff Santolo. And hi, Murphy. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Not too far from you. I'm in Massachusetts, so hopefully I don't get dropped here either. But by the way, that was a great poem, Frank. That was the one that
I think it was only halfway done. If Murphy wants to finish it, so you could hear the rest of it.
By all means.
Where did I get dropped?
I don't know, something about, like, I forgot that I even wrote the poem, but something about red-faced something or other. Because I want to exercise.
I noticed you counting your bank statements and counting your pennies like a baboon in heat. Your ass turns bright orange every time you add another zero. I see you looking back at me. I see how much you loathe me. I see that you think I'm a big fucking asshole because I just shit on your whole existence. And I know you'll say it doesn't bother you. And you'll get no rest on your big fat mattress and say, fuck that guy. He knows nothing about me. He knows I'm a poet and I mean something. I know I'm pure talent. I know I'm capable of the Pulitzer. And I can see you doubting yourself as you make the sign of the cross with rosary beads in your hands, telling God that I am full of myself and that I need prayer. And you ask him to deliver me, but the closest you can get is deleting me from your social network.
I forgot that I even wrote that poem. It's good to hear, I suppose. So, Jeff, do you have, like, a question you'd like to ask Murphy about his press or any of the things he's got going on?
Yeah, absolutely. Murphy, yeah, first of all, I think that's a wonderful thing you're doing. It's courageous to start it up on your own and to publish such great talent like Frank and John Dorsey. Now, do you write poetry yourself?
I do.
You do? Do you self-publish yourself or...
Yes. Yeah. Everything.
Right.
You know, except for a few signs or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I find that it's a great courageous thing because anytime you can open up any type of forum and get the word out there about these great writers that are out there, that's a great thing. So I want to thank you for that because I know it's not easy. That's a tough thing to do to start up a publication and get the circulation going. And, kudos to you, my friend.
I appreciate it. It's nice to, have people say that they appreciate what you're doing. It is hard work, man, but it's a labor of love, I remember my old man telling me a long time ago, find something that you enjoy doing, and if you can make money at it, then, you'll die happy. And I'm just looking
good
for
work,
the money in it, but I love what I do. So that the reward is in, hearing stories from other people about the work. So that's my just desserts, So thank you.
So, Murphy, don't go anywhere, Jeff. I just got to ask a few questions. Casey drops off into the void. I need another caller. But Murphy, so that was your first series that you did, me, John, Michael Grover, and the anthologies there. So what came after that, in your next season?
I did. I started out again. I self-published my own stuff, Broken Yoke, which was a small collection, 36 poems of mine, using the proceeds to continue to fund the press. I published The Thorazine Hotel by Eduardo Jones, who had just recently published Gutterfish, full length. I did a collaborative effort, 12 Poets, Voices Against Violence, to
to raise funds for a nonprofit organization that the domestic violence helpline and shelter and so forth. I thought Voices Against Violence fit well with poetry, so I put together a chat book for them. I published Fake Data. It's a funny book. It's called Bad Luck with Haiku. I did a chat for Joshua Chase. I'm sure not very many people are familiar with him, called The Riot Act. That's some good stuff. Also did a chat for Christian Alvarez called My Immunology, so to speak. Again, a lot of fun. And most recently, I've been working on this thing called The Musophobist, and it's a monthly, was a monthly. I stopped it this past month to focus on some other things, but that was focusing on four individual writers. The Unadorned Reader, which I had done the year before, was pretty random.
Okay, so we lost Murphy, and Jeff is still here, so it's definitely the depths of New Hampshire. I think he's more up north, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, must be north of Manchester, maybe. No, Frank, I was reading some of the latest poems that you had up there. Man, you're really knocking it out of the park. You got some great stuff there. Wow. Really.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. Oh, he's back. This time. All right,
I have you on speed dial now.
So why don't you tell everybody how you can, how they can get your stuff that you're making here.
The easiest way is through Facebook. I don't have any other, you know, website out there. Facebook, unadorned.press1, the number one. That's probably the easiest way to find out updates and stuff. And everything's for sale on Etsy. I'm not tech savvy. I'm not, you know, a web designer or anything. And it's a self-supporting press, so I can't afford to, you know, by Dominion Space. So I'm set up at Etsy.com, and you can just, you know, type in Unadorned Press and you can find what's currently available. I've been on a 3-week hiatus, and I just noticed that your book dropped, Frank, so I have to re-up that. But I guess
sorry,
they only stay on for like three months or something like that. But yeah, Etsy.com or Facebook is about the best way.
Cool. So why don't you read us one of your poems from one of your books?
All right. I'll read a short one here because I'll probably get dropped again. This is called Menagerie. This is from Unscrupulous Rhetoric, my first book. The wasp does not sting out of hate. The lion cannot stalk and kill out of jealousy. The horse knows nothing of racial profiling. The dog, the cat, the kangaroo do not judge based on class. The monkey will toss shit at anyone regardless of their education. The snake can warm next to an alligator with a brown recluse hanging, chilling in harmony, waiting for a murderous...
He's gone again.
Sounding good there for a second.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I'll probably have to find some time for him again down the line because I feel bad.
Yeah.
It's been like 16 minutes in the show and probably about 8 minutes worth of like poor kid dropping. So
he's created a new style of poetry. You know, you kind of cut it off in the middle. It's like a serial. We got to tune in next week to hear the rest of it.
Yeah, it's he keeps disappearing into the void there and keeps coming back and he's back.
All right.
Let's see. Get one here. All right, man.
Knowing all of this, we humans still find time to grow an ear on the mouse's back. We still find time to pray in the week for pleasure. We still find time to pray on the week for pleasure. We still find time to rape, to murder, to steal futures. We are at the top of the food chain and the bottom of the circle of life. We are humans, and there is nothing humane about us. We are fucked, and we know this. End poem.
Well, that was pretty cool, man. I like how you came back from the void reading it, like you vanished into the black hole for a little while. And
Yeah, I gotta tell you, man, this is pretty odd. I've never in my life experienced this many dropped calls in less than an hour. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's Jeff still stays on, so it's definitely the wilds of New Hampshire. It's gotta
be.
I don't know. But so, Jeff, would you like to ask him a question since you just heard that poem?
Yeah. I mean, that was great. Thanks, Murphy, for sharing that. So, for writers that you're looking to publish, I mean, you've published some great, great writers. How else are you drawing, you know, from your talent pool? Are you scouting people's works, or are you getting a lot of submissions? How's that working exactly?
I'm mostly scouting. I have gotten some. I've gotten probably 5, maybe 6 unsolicited manuscripts. And, you know, one of them was really good. One of them I might work with later. The other stuff was kind of fluff stuff, and I'm not really big on the fluff poetry. But, but people interested in getting their work out there. But mostly it's, you know, people that I've known or know. For instance, an upcoming chat with Carolyn Sigley Moore, who I had no idea of, really. She's a very prolific writer. She writes quite a bit. And in researching for the Musophobus, I came across her stuff and was like, Jesus, you know, Carolyn, send me a chapbook. And she explained to me that she didn't have one forthcoming. So we've been putting together a book.
Right. Great.
That's pretty much it. I mean, I was introduced to the writing world via MySpace. You know, this community of people that I still associate with today on Facebook. And within that talent pool, I mean, there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of pages of material that needs to be printed. So it's not that difficult in finding, you know, quality stuff worth spending ink on, which I find myself, again, very fortunate to be a part of.
And that's a question. I know Frank. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Frank.
No, I was just wondering if you connected to the writing world this time, did you start later in life writing? Like, say, I probably started in my late 20s or mid-20s, but did you start, like, later in life, or was it just something in the closet?
I used to write, like, essays, and I guess you'd call them, like, op-eds. I was very politically oriented, and, you know, I used to write what I called rants. And I guess they would be considered essays. Never wrote poetry. I mean, I hate to say this, especially now that I sometimes call myself a poet. But growing up, to me, poets were, you know, people who, you know, liked penis. And that was it. You had to, you know, really, I wasn't that guy. I mean, I you don't share your emotions. You don't talk about your feelings and et cetera, et cetera. And then, about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I was introduced actually to the Outlaw Bible of American Poetry, and after reading some of the stuff in that, I was like, holy shit, like this is where it's at. I mean, I'm an angry person, and I can be angry, I can be upset at the world, and share it in an honest and open format with essays and writing. You have to, you know, show your sources, and you're not allowed to have your own opinion, and yada, yada, yada. In poetry, it's purely opinion. It's purely, you know, the writer's perspective. And it really freed me up to into honesty, you know?
Yeah, because I think that's like a major topic that one day I'd probably discuss, but probably not today, but in a show maybe. But it's like it's what you're taught in school. And it's like when I was taught poetry in high school in the first few years in college, I had no connection to it either. I was like, I don't get all these thous and nahs. I don't understand what the hell this guy's talking about. And then, of course, once I got, like, you know, I discovered other people, you know, dead ones that turned me on to stuff, like Jesse Bernstein and those types of guys. And so I get what you're saying. Oh, he's gone.
No, that's a great point, Frank. You know, that's a great point. I think with poetry, it's, you know, you can't really teach someone poetics. There's an honesty to it. There's a way of, you know, using language beyond language, if you will.
You're back.
He's back. Okay.
I totally agree with what you were saying, Frank, before I get dropped. And one thing I want to add, again, before I get dropped, what I like so much about the fact that I wasn't raised on poetry and I didn't read all these people, you know, is the non-imitating art. Like, my stuff came from me. It wasn't me, you know, taking what I had learned before and adapting it to a style. My voice was my own right from the beginning. And as I look back now, you know, the more and more I learn about it, the more I read, the more people I get into, it's like I'm so appreciative of that because I never had to, you know, one of the things when I was learning to shoot pool, one of the guys told me was bad heart habits are impossible to break. You know, that you got to do it right the first time. And I really feel fortunate that I didn't have a school of thought going into poetry, that it was very free for me, and I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, it's a good way to get into it, I think. I mean, I don't know. I just don't think that, like, a lot of the stuff that I was taught, and not, it doesn't mean I don't have an appreciation for some of the really old dead guys, but the stuff I like is more like, it just drops the pretentiousness factor completely. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like Lee Poe or Francois Villon, like, those are old guys that they should have taught me in school because then I might have, like, you know, might have liked poetry. But, you know, it was full of, like, some guy holding a skull going, thou and thy, and I was like, this shit sucks.
Like, yeah.
So I get your point completely and totally. Jeff, do you have anything to add?
Great conversation. I mean, it's so true. I mean, you're taught in school and whatnot about, you know, more of the elitist and the academic, academia, if you will, perception of poetry and meter and whatnot, with, you know, when really it should be started more from a present context and then work your way back. But what they do is they go back working their way forward. And it just turns people off because it's very hard to relate to, you know, a lot of, you know, Edmund Spencer or something, you know, when you're, you know, how are you going to relate to that when you're...
Is that what you're, like, trying to do, Murphy, is just the stuff that really hits you hard to put it out into the world for the hopes that a young 18-year-old kid gets an idea of what's really going on out there, what you're putting out there?
Absolutely, yeah, and again, it's you know, being able to find it. Now, the internet is a great source for that, and I don't have any, you know, I'm sure the internet's going to be around for a long time, but the amazing thing about a book is people can find the book without looking for it. You know, it can be sat on a table or put somewhere, so somebody who necessarily wasn't out looking for it can find it, and that's why it's important to me to have it in what I call the permanent context, the printed word, as it used to be, you know, if people could stumble upon it. Not a lot of people are going to stumble across these great voices on the internet, you know, unless they're looking for them or already part of the community, whereas a chat book, you know, or a collection or a zine sitting in a coffee shop somewhere, somebody like myself who had previous no knowledge, you know, could find it and be like, damn, all right, this is awesome. So, yeah, that's definitely part of my goal.
Do you, on occasion, when you go out into the world, or do you leave some of your materials around for people to find them?
All the time, man. It's kind of an obsession of mine. I'll either scribble something, you know, generic, heartfelt, on a napkin and leave it, or a chat book, or even just an email address. I've even, you know, I haven't gone so far. Eduardo Jones, you know, plastering New York with his poetry.
So, that Murphy better get back on because he's down to 5 minutes. Poor guy, man. I feel bad.
Yeah, I know. It's a great thing he's doing, though. That's wonderful. You know, it's given voice to so many great writers, getting the exposure out there, and it's a great thing he's doing.
Kind of leads into that. It's always like a good time to create, I think, but I think like times are really hard out there, and it's really good to try to focus yourself out on the reality. Oh, here he is. Hold on. Mm-hmm. All right, man. See if you can stay on for the
I don't know if I should keep calling back or what.
You're officially down to
that.
You're about 3 minutes in until the lady comes on and sings. So why don't you take us out with anything you want. It could be a discussion of poetry or whatever the hell you want to do.
Let's talk about poetry, man, a little bit. The future of poetry and what's going to happen in the next, you know, 3 or 4 years with the printed word and coming together as a collective again. And let's you know, focus on what Jeff, right? I'm horrible with names. Starting in the present and looking backwards. Look at what the people did, like D.A. Levy and his printed words. Let's get back to that. Let's get away from, you know, posting blogs and the internet stuff, and let's get together in real time, in real life, in real ink, and, you know, stuff you can put coffee stains on, and bring that back. This is the time for it. This is the, you know, the 60s was a great movement of peace, love, happiness, sharing, you know, the communal spirit of things. We've got a great opportunity here. Thousands of people able to communicate in real time, but coordinate and getting together. And it's happening. It's happening. It just needs to happen a little bit quicker and with more fervor. And literally, I hate to do it. I don't want to be political, but I really think, guys, that it's up to the poet to change the world, to change the future, because we're the only ones allowed to be honest other than stand-up comedians. And it's our job. It's our job to be orators of what we see. We ingest and we give back. So let's get together. Let's bring our spirits as one and show the rest of the world that how it's been isn't how it needs to be, that we can truly do something different and get above all. That's what I'd like
Amen
to see.
Amen to that. But well said, Murphy. That's you're right on the money, and that's exactly right. Poetry needs to become the art form, the viable art form, and the accessible art form for today. I think culture is ready to accept it. It's just that they don't know how to accept it, because, you know, it's kind of a conversation that me and Frank have had, or I've had on the show a couple of times, is that, you know, poetry has always taken, you know, a lot of people, they hear poetry and it's like, I don't want to get into that. You know, they immediately turn away from it. But if they only got a little taste of it, and they got a little, they would be hooked onto it. And it's the voice right now for the society that we're living in and going forward. It's the poet's voice, because it speaks to people. It's just that we need to turn on more people. That's it.
And I think a lot of it has to do with what those people are taught in school. You know, if someone came up to me and asked me to solve an algebra problem, I'd be like, oh, man, because, you know, I hate math. So, you know, what you learn in school, you know, those people aren't going to want to hear about it. So I don't know how it's going to be done, because a lot of us are poor. No one wants to pass a hat to the poet at all. So, you know,
right.
It's hard to get together.
Go ahead.
Well,
what I was going to say, that's our fault. That's our fault. We took a back seat to the rock star in the modern era. We allow the fucking glam band to destroy the poet, and we've allowed the stand-up comedian to maintain the stage. We need to take that stage back. We need to, by force, by venue after venue after venue, and crowd after crowd after crowd, and book after book after book. We can do this. This is it's not going to happen overnight, but we didn't give it up overnight. And when I say we, I mean the poets. They were the...
Well, Murphy, the show's down to 10 seconds, so I'll see you next week, Jeff.
Sorry. I'm going to finish this thought for him. I hope you don't mind, Murphy. But, okay, is the show over?
Yeah, it's over.
All right, never mind. I'll save it for
him. All right, man.
Okay, thanks, friend.
Well, that's it, folks. The show is over. Time is out. Don't know what the fuck ever.